Vold Financial Group.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back. Your Tuesday edition of Justice and Drew, hour two. Second hour. And that first hour always flies by. It's crazy.
Yeah, man. This was raise our coffee cups. It's a good thing we're all friends. Just say that.
I raise no cups for either of you.
Sam's mad at us.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
We are in the middle of perfect time because we're still in the middle of Sam's Top 5.
Number 4.
Trump has slapped new sanctions on Iran. Slapping them around.
Just slapping them. I got a sanction here and I'm going to slap it on you.
Oh, no.
Just slap.
It's like the sanctions are post-it notes. There. That's on you, Iran.
Yes, he's slapping on post-it notes to Iran.
Yeah, he's got a wall with all the options on it. He slapped it.
From the Hill. President Trump on Monday announced additional U.S. sanctions against Iran, targeting the country's supreme leader and other high-ranking officials. Via post-it note, Trump signed an executive order in the Oval Office that he said will deny the supreme leader and others access to financial instruments. Trump had previously signaled he would levy additional sanctions on Iran amid simmering tensions between Washington and Tehran. Trump said the supreme leader of Iran is one who ultimately is responsible for the hostile conduct of the regime. He's respected within his country. His office oversees the regime's most brutal instruments. He called the new sanctions a strong and proportionate response to Iran's increasingly provocative actions. Trump noted the recent downing of an unmanned U.S. surveillance drone near Iran and attacks on oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, briefing reporters a short time later, clarified that some of the sanctions announced on Monday were already in the works, while others were the result of recent activities. He declined to specify which sanctions fell into which category. Those sanctions will apply to the supreme leader and his office military officer for his threat to close the Strait of Hormuz and two individuals tied to the downing of the U.S. drone and five Iranian naval district leaders. Mnuchin said that the administration will also designate the Iranian foreign minister later in the week. And Iran last week shot down the U.S. drone, which Tehran said violated its airspace. U.S. officials have maintained the aircraft was in international airspace, calling the action unprovoked. And Trump said on Friday that he called off a retaliatory strike after learning that it would result in 150 Iranian deaths. The president has alternated in recent days between warning of the potential for U.S. military action and emphasizing his preference to negotiate with Iranian leaders.
After Trump made those Twitter comments about the reason why he halted that attack on Iran. By the way, I don't know if you ever saw the follow up, and this kind of drives home the point that I want to make. He went further on to say that the planes were never in the air. That reporting, according to Trump, the New York Times did, was completely wrong. They had a plan in place, but they're reporting that the planes were on their way and ready. That he said that they had not taken off, and that wasn't the case. The point I wanted to make, though, is that I specifically spent the weekend looking at news stories and on Twitter to see what the response was to President Donald Trump in saying that the reason why he stopped the attack from going through was because it wasn't worth the death of 150 Iranians for shooting down one of our drones. And not to my surprise, there was like no follow-up. Like nobody said, like there was no, the most of the mainstream media networks didn't bother to talk about it. The commentary around all the actions went completely silent on Twitter. And it just, and it's expected, but man, does it really just underscore that inability that people have to just even give just a tiny, tiny bit of credit to the president for his actions.
Would it be so difficult to say that not you know, engaging in a military retaliation was the right thing to do? Would that be very difficult for, you know, someone who is anti-Trump to say? Apparently.
Yeah.
Because I've hardly seen anybody say it. And it was the right thing to do. You may not like Trump, and you may not even like the rationale by which he got to that decision, but it was still the right decision. And in increasing sanctions and continuing to put the pressure on the leadership there and continuing to squeeze them to the point where they're going to be forced to make some reforms eventually at some point, that's the goal, obviously, is the right thing to do. Also, expect Iran to retaliate. You know, with increased sanctions, with making life more difficult for the leadership there, Iran will most likely retaliate, and they will retaliate in the only way they can, which is, you know, another attack right. on something.
Well, and there were a handful of outlets, left-leaning outlets, that did make comment and positive comment. Those outlets, though, were outlets that always do that. They're outlets that I've read, and the more progressive types of individuals and commentators that are liberal, don't like Trump, but they are rational enough to maybe not give credit where credit is due, but at least be intellectually honest to show this for what it was. And, you know, basically said that was a smart move. I'm glad that we didn't. The problem is the fact that all those other people, they dig their heels so far in the other direction. They jump so far out to a conclusion without having all the facts that they don't bother to go back. And that's where the problem lies. Those are the individuals that are most vocal within the social sphere and on Twitter. It's the individuals that rush to the most extreme judgment possible. And then once the truth is actually shown, they just kind of, ah, whatever. There's people that tweeted us like that all the time.
Yeah.
They're just drive-by tweeters. And you present them with the truth, and then they just go silent until they tweet their next piece of nonsense.
Yeah. You refute, you know, their argument, and then they drop it and move on to the next thing. It's ridiculous.
Number five.
Trump has issued an executive order increasing transparency in hospital prices and doctor fees.
What a monster.
Oh, just
what a
just
monster.
Tyrant.
What a horrible, horrible president.
So orange.
Basically just a walking, talking Cheeto. From CNBC. President Donald Trump yesterday issued an executive order designed to pressure insurers, doctors, and other healthcare providers to disclose more information about their prices. The executive order is going to direct the Department of Health and Human Services to require hospitals and insurers to disclose negotiated rates for services, as well as provide patients with out-of-pocket costs before their procedures. Trump said before signing the order, "We are fundamentally changing the nature of the healthcare marketplace." Trump said the lack of price transparency has benefited industry giants greatly and has cost Americans millions of dollars in healthcare costs. Price transparency can empower patient choice. That's according to Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar. He said that in a call on Monday with reporters. Azar said the president has a clear vision for American healthcare. That's the promise he's made to American patients, and today represents a historic step for delivering on that promise.
I have to take a smorgasbord of medication. It drives me nuts. But I have to take a lot of different meds every single day, right? And being completely honest, like, I don't even pay attention to what I'm being charged, right? Like, when it goes up once a year, when the cost of whatever I have to take goes up once a year, I just assume it's because my deductible and I haven't reached it.
Sure.
And I haven't reached it yet. But I'm glad we're making moves like this, because I should pay more attention. I should stay on top of it. I don't. The only time it really, I do if it ends up being like really high, like Melinda takes some stuff, and on occasion she's had some refills and they've really, really, and I've gone and I've looked to make sure that there's not something happening. But, you know, for the sort of assumed rates, you do just that. You just assume that you're being charged the correct amount, and that you're not being price gouged or overcharged. And I bet, and certainly with moves like this, that's not the case. A lot of people are being taken advantage of, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Excellent job, Sam.
Thank you.
Stellar top five. Thank you to Early Bird Electric for sponsoring Sam's top five.
All right, so this is a sad little tale here. When we've reached the place, we've reached a bad place, when we are at a point where the Holocaust Museum has to go and choose sides in a debate. Right?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I mean, this is...
And then people have to, like, somebody, what did the phrase somebody used on Twitter? It said they have to, like, gov-splain to the Holocaust Museum. You've got so many people out there. So the Holocaust Museum issues a statement regarding the concentration camp and Holocaust analogies that AOC and many of her ilk are making.
Right.
And they say, basically, you know, to summarize, we disagree.
Oh, that's putting it lightly.
I know.
There's big words in here.
And then so many people decided, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hop on Twitter and I'm going to explain to the Holocaust Museum why they're wrong about the Holocaust and concentration camps. That's not a good look.
No.
That's not a good look. What do they say? That's a weird flex.
Yeah.
Weird flex, but okay.
Weird flex.
Yeah, the United States, their official statement was the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum unequivocally rejects efforts to create analogies between the Holocaust and other events, whether historical or contemporary. The flippin' Holocaust Museum.
Yeah.
And it really is. It is essentially choosing sides. Like, I'm going to venture a guess that whoever issued this probably didn't want to have to do this. That position has repeatedly and unambiguously been made clear in the museum's official statement on the matter. The museum further reiterates that a statement ascribed to a museum staff historian regarding recent attempts to analogize the situation on the United States southern border to concentration camps in Europe in the 1930s and 40s does not reflect the position of the museum. They run the... It's a sad commentary.
And the AOCs and the Ilhans and now Keith Ellison.
Into
it. Like, they don't care. They don't care. This is all about narrative. That's all it is. It's not about the truth. It's not about facts. It's just about narrative. And if you don't believe that, look at what they're willing to lie about. They're willing to lie. They're willing to put out imagery and videos from 2014. To bolster their argument, to bolster their case, because they know that 90% of the people that follow them and listen to them aren't going to bother to actually click on any links or read any stories. Or they'll never hear any refutation of these allegations at all because they won't bother.
It tells you how sadly powerful Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has become for the Democratic Party. Because you could have stopped this, all this nonsense, all of it, if you had just come out, if everybody, and especially the left, because the right did it, the moment that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez made that correlation, just stopped it right there and said, knock it off.
Right.
That's a bad comparison.
Right.
You shouldn't be saying that. But of course they didn't. And that's why we are at where we are at right now.
This could have been stopped with a simple just, hey, you know, that, comparing what's going on at these detention centers to concentration camps was ill-advised. And it was wrong. And I shouldn't have done that. And you can still say what's happening at these detention centers is awful. You can still say that we need to do something about the children that are being brought over and then having to go through this process where they are, for a short period of time, separated from their families. You can still hold all of those positions and say, but comparing it to the concentration camps was inappropriate and it minimized the horrors that went on at the concentration camps. But she can't do that. She cannot bring herself to do that. So now here we are with this weird sort of doubling down, piling on to the point where the Holocaust Museum has to come out and issue a statement. It's gotten so bizarre and so weird, and it's all about ego and narrative.
And I challenge every single media outlet in Minnesota to go to Keith Ellison and get his statement on this issue after retweeting Go AOC after he shared a tweet by a Democratic representative in support of her comments. Get a camera in front of Ilhan Omar. We have the audio. And ask her specifically to go ahead and draw the comparison.
Look, if we had a media that was actually interested in doing those things, the state attorney general, the chief law enforcement officer within the state of Minnesota, he might have something relevant to say about the allegations surrounding Ilhan Omar and her multiple marriages and her potential tax fraud.
Right.
He might have something to say about an elected official, a sitting representative in Congress that replaced him that it looks like did some really bad things when it comes to filing taxes and committed immigration fraud by marrying her brother. So he might have a comment on that, but I don't even know if he's been asked.
And I do need to backtrack. So Ilhan Omar was asked, so my apologies. So we can just go to Keith Ellison and ask him. But this is what Ilhan Omar had to say. This comes out of Ian Schwartz out of Daily Wire picked up on this. It was retweeted. Representative Ilhan Omar was asked to weigh in on AOC's use of concentration camps. And this is what Ilhan Omar had to say.
Hi, could I get a moment of your time? Could you tell me, do you agree with AOC that ICE is running concentration camps on the border?
There are camps and people are being concentrated. This is very simple. I don't even know why this is a controversial thing for her to say. We have to really truthfully speak about what's taking place. And this is why it's really important for us to abolish ICE and make sure that we have an agency that is accountable to the people, that is dealing with the situation in a humane way. There's no way that we can allow for kids to be caged in this country and children to be separated from their families and people being terrorized in their communities. We have to make sure that we are calling it out, and I am 100% with Alan.
She is a dangerous, lying radical.
There are camps, and people are being concentrated.
I can't.
So
I
just, it's a concentration
camp. I can't.
Yeah,
can't
right because now. You know, in 1940s Germany, so many people were trying to immigrate into Germany to get into those concentrations.
Totally,
right?
Yeah,
isn't that how it worked?
I saw that all the. And I didn't see
They were like, "Hey, I'm here.
Yeah,
you know, run me through your concentration camp so I can then enjoy all of your great social welfare."
I don't even
benefits.
Like to. Yeah, I mean, I know. No, you're right.
That didn't happen.
That's
what's happening here.
Right. Right.
And people are lying about asylum. They're lying about having children. And not everybody, obviously, but that's why we have a place where we can process them and separate the ones that are lying about asylum or that are bringing in children that aren't theirs. They're bringing in the children on purpose. Don't you understand that?
We'll stick with this topic for right now. We're going to move. Pete Hegseth will not be joining us this morning, so it provides us an opportunity to shuffle some things around. So let's stick on this, on the topic of the border coming up. A couple of different stories before we get into a little bit later on the cancellation of the student loan debt. Next, just to continue down this particular road, story here. What the viral border video leaves out, and this is the one that everybody's been jumping on, everyone's been tweeting about, all the different Democrat members of Congress, along with the failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, this idea that the children don't have the things that they need at the border. It's all based off of a lie. We'll bring in the details, and we'll get into this article from the Star Tribune. There is no safe space, Latinos in Minneapolis say, as the threat of immigration raids linger. Well, explain who those individuals that are so worried, who they really need to go and blame for citiesnewstalk.com. Let's go back for just a second, and we got a couple of stupid audio clips from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but they all are, right?
Every week.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because we have a clip that we'll play a little bit later on in regards to eliminating the student debt. It's just going to make your head spin. But she says so much stupid in like one sentence that by the time you unpack all the dumb, you've forgotten why you started to unpack it in the first place. Like, I feel like that's her superpower.
That's her strategy.
You know, she just says so much dumb.
She says so many dumb things. She never, ever, ever, ever apologizes. She never, ever, ever takes a step back and goes, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe they're not concentration camps. Maybe that was inappropriate. You know, never, ever, ever does that. She is out there. She's the one taking all the bullets.
Yep.
You know, so that the rest of the Democrats behind her can keep doing stupid things.
So here's what started this whole nonsense off in the first place when it comes to concentration camps.
The United States is running concentration camps on our southern border. And that is exactly what they are. They are concentration camps.
Nope.
And if that doesn't bother you,
This is a member of Congress?
Yeah.
Can you imagine being like the staffer? Because I mean, I assume that she has a staff that maybe probably knows better than she does about things that you shouldn't say. And can you imagine being the staffer who's in charge of trying to figure out the damage control for this, and their head just exploding in that moment?
And she's just freewheeling it on Instagram videos.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
Do me a favor and start it back from the beginning again.
The United States is running concentration camps on our southern border, and that is exactly what they are.
Okay. Because we know about this just via the nature of what it is that we do, right? That right there, you were exactly right a moment ago. She's freewheeling. When she goes, and that's because that's exactly what they are. She doesn't even know how to explain.
Right.
She hasn't even bothered to educate herself to a point like I would have given her a modicum of credit had she gone and really explained and fleshed it out why she personally believes that's the case. But she hasn't even bothered to do that, and it's clear in that the fact that she just repeats herself.
Yeah.
Because that's
she saw it
what
on
they
Twitter.
Are.
She saw it on Twitter. She heard somebody say it. She saw somebody tweet it, whatever, and it stuck in her head, and she was like, yeah, I'm going to go on Instagram. I'm going to make a video. I'm going to talk about this. And then that long pause where she couldn't figure out what she wanted to say next. That was her brain, like, going, did you really just say that? Did you really just call them concentrate? Well, I guess we gotta own this now. And then she does. And she goes and she owns it. And she refuses to apologize and she refuses to back down. This whole thing could have been just nipped in the bud if she would have been like, yeah, maybe calling them concentration camps wasn't appropriate. They're still horrible. They're still terrible. They still need to be, you know, shut down or reformed, and we need to abolish ICE. She could hold all of the positions that she currently holds and said, yeah, but they're not concentration camps, and I'm sorry I called them that.
We live in a world where the X-Men movies do a better job of explaining concentration camps and the Holocaust than a sitting member of Congress.
She refuses to educate herself about it, too.
Yeah, just go watch any of those X-Men movies.
Well, there's probably better examples.
Of course there is, but I'm trying to come with the most, like, ridiculous ones. Right? All the it's like there's a series of those movies. They show that same scene with Magneto and how they found him in the first place. And they, apart from him and his ability to bend metal, they accurately portray the horrific nature and situation that those people were in. It is so offensive that she would go and do that. And the fact that we are in the place that we're in right now with a lengthy article that we're about to get to because the left refuses to go and push back on this blabbering idiot.
Right. And they want you to believe that the Trump administration is going out there and rounding people up and taking them to these camps. That's not what's happening. People are choosing to enter our country illegally, choosing to bring children with them that may or may not be theirs, choosing to lie about asylum claims. They're choosing all of these things knowing that they're going to get sent to a detention facility, processed, and then sent on their way. This is their strategy. They have been taught to do this.
We had a call yesterday from a liberal friend of the show. We have a few of those. It's Jerry, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Jerry's comment was very, very interesting because he was talking about how he was asking us why we continue to criticize, you know, Ilhan Omar when she's such a gift for us, because he doesn't like her either. And he also doesn't believe that she should be holding that particular seat. And so,
argument being that having Ilhan Omar out there making headlines and saying stupid things will help reelect Trump. That was the gist of the argument.
And it's so typical of the left, because there are people, and I'm sure that it's happening right now. I'm not on there but at the moment, but there are people out there that will gleefully go and comment about how happy they are that we're so upset at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's so great. It's driving those conservative talk show hosts nuts. She's awesome. And they don't ever bother to try to go and back up the actual claims that are making us upset. Please,
I don't care.
By all means, tell us, justify Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's ridiculous and offensive correlation of the two that brought us to this place where we have to have lengthy discussions over the differences between what's happening on the border with individuals coming into the country illegally and those that died during the Holocaust.
Well, Ilhan Omar laid it out. There are people in there.
That's right.
They are concentrated there.
Right. I'm sorry. Yes, that's
and
right.
And it's a camp. Yeah. So it's the same. Essentially the same.
I have orange juice concentration in my refrigerator at home.
Your freezer is now a concentration camp.
Yeah, I have a, it's a concentration storage place, that's for sure.
Jonathan in Minneapolis, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment that, you know, the concentration camp idea... people need to educate themselves as to what actually happens in the concentration camp. The first thing that happens is you're transported in cattle cars. In Nazi Germany, you were transported in cattle cars. You were separated. Men went one way, women went another way. Children went with their mothers if possible, but oftentimes not. Very next thing that happened is you were stripped naked, absolutely stark naked at the day you were born. Your hair was shaven. You were given all the same clothing.
Jonathan, I'm gonna stop you right there because we're short on time and appreciate your comments. The truth of the matter is everybody knows that. Apparently, but other than AOC.
Yeah.
Like anybody who's paid any attention to been through history classes or, like I said, ridiculously watched, as an example, any of the X-Men movies knows what's happened there.
They were death camps. And what we're doing with people that are coming into this country illegally is nothing even remotely close to it, and that shouldn't even...
0.5 FM.
.5855 is the phone number if you want to take part in the program. Also, keep using that hashtag TCNT on Twitter. You can follow me at Andrew Lee TCNT, follow John at John Justice, and... if you want to follow Sam, the queen of the program.
At Sam Sansevier.
At Sam Sansevier. Since you are a queen now, a listener asked this, and I think it's a good question. Do you have the power to knight us?
Mm.
Oh.
Can you make us the Knights of Buffalo?
I think, do you have to be an, well, maybe.
Just say yes.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I want to make you guys knights.
Wait, what?
I might be able to make somebody
who
a knight.
Who else would you
make? I don't know if I want to make you guys knights.
Who else could possibly be worthy?
Are you going to follow me around Buffalo and protect me?
Sure.
Sure, why not? If we're talking about ridiculous nonsense, yes, indeed. I will follow you around Buffalo and protect you at, you know, from any harm that may befall you in Buffalo.
And you don't know if I believe you, John.
We'll be the Queen's Guard.
Yeah, well, you don't sound super committed.
After the show, you can use one of your stuffed animals. You can choose which one. Instead of a sword, you can bend a knee, and then you can just pass one over your shoulder.
I will knight you via manatee.
There you go. There you go.
All right.
Yes.
Drew, knight of the manatees.
I'll consider it. You know what? I'll consider knighting you guys.
In an attempt to justify AOC's absurd comparison of the American detention facilities and the Holocaust-era concentration camps, many figures within the media have shared a viral clip of a legal hearing in which the Department of Justice attorney debates a panel of judges as to what constitutes sanitary conditions. The majority of the shares were a version put out by Now This News, which claimed that the video shows a Trump administration official arguing that children don't need soap, toothbrushes, or beds to be safe and sanitary while in Border Patrol custody. So this was wrong, and we'll get to that. But just as an example, I saw this and actually responded to one of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's tweets, and without even knowing, right, I didn't even know the full context of this particular video. Okay, knowing the full truth. But knowing what I know about what happens at the border, I tweeted at her. I said, yeah, and yet they're all provided these things because they are provided these things. Turns out, though, that the claim has led to, of course, several days of outrage, has repeatedly been used as evidence in the current, but that the current administration is being intentionally cruel to migrant children, Countless journalists, clickbait outlets, The Hill, Huffington Post have all highlighted the video inside of this particular framing. Unsurprisingly, it was not that simple. Indeed, the hearing in the video was related not to actions taken by the Trump administration.
Wait, what?
Nope. It was a challenge to a 2017 ruling that the Customs and Border Protection under the Obama administration had violated the Flores Settlement Agreement with its treatment of children in custody.
That's got to be a mistake.
Nope.
Nobody was ever mistreated by the Obama administration. Ever. Ever. Couldn't have happened. It's impossible. He was too cool, man.
The DOJ attorney in the video was Sarah Fabian, was not arguing that the United States should decline to provide those items to children, but rather that the Flores Settlement Agreement didn't specifically require those items.
Yeah, but orange man bad, John.
This is what happens when you have Trump derangement syndrome. The notoriously liberal Ninth Circuit judges disagreed with this argument, preferring to read Flores narrowly. Fabian has been arguing similar cases on behalf of the Justice Department for years. That is her job. Some of her legal arguments have upset to immigration advocates before, but they've never led to this type of media coverage or the claim that her fulfilling her legal role is indicative of a moral shortcoming.
Yeah. This is part of a process. This is how laws, regulations get sort of codified and clarified. You know, they make arguments, they get in front of courts. That's all this was. And again, it was a challenging a ruling that was made under the Obama administration, that the Obama administration had violated the agreement. By the way, the Obama administration treated the children in custody. You're not going to get that information from any of your mainstream outlets. You're certainly not going to get it by a quick drive-by hit on Twitter where all you read is a headline, oh, Trump administration official argues that, you know, it's okay to treat kids horribly, and then you go and believe it and you go tell everybody about it and it becomes part of the narrative. That's not what happened.
And predictably, the vast majority of people on outlets, they jump straight to the conclusion that the federal government, headed by Trump, was deliberately inflicting pain on babies. It isn't true. By the way, that Flores settlement agreement, if you talk about it for just a minute, that's the agreement, and that's the issue that keeps causing so many problems.
Yep.
Because that's the issue where you discover when individuals don't come to the actual Border Patrol stations, when they're coming across the border illegally on the often trotted paths. They're there, right? Because there's so many people take them. And they're there as a family and claiming a family and asylum. The Flores Agreement means that we have to go and take them in custody. But a part of that also means that the parents have to be separated from the children because the coyotes who are being paid thousands of dollars to bring people into the country illegally know that this process can happen. And we have to make sure that the adults with children are the actual relatives of those individuals and not being used to bring in children into the country. And they've just refused to admit that, and they keep pushing they're ripping families from their children.
Yeah, it's not true. It's not true. They're outright lying. And look, when it comes to any issue, if you're not sure where to fall or where you stand on a particular issue, and you got one side that's outright lying in order to bolster their case, that's using fear and misleading tactics to bolster their case, chances are they're on the wrong side. And that's exactly what's happening here when it comes to immigration, when it comes to how we deal with our border. The really important part of this article, and this is out of Reuters, you know, incredible organization, right? They jump straight to the conclusion, as you mentioned, that Trump and the Trump administration are deliberately inflicting pain on these children. That isn't true. And then this is the part that's really important. It wasn't true during the Obama administration either. Then, as now, the violations weren't part of an intentional or evil ploy, but were the product of a system being overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on here. Anytime you see pictures of these facilities and you think to yourself, gosh, that looks horrible. We should really do a better job with these kids. We should put them somewhere where, you know, I understand maybe they have to be detained for a short period of time. We should try to make it a little more comfortable. This isn't done because there's a bunch of evil people that hate children and want to see them suffer. This is being done because it's government. government sucks at pretty much everything. You ever spent time in a DMV? That's not comfortable either.
Right.
Right? I mean, they're just not good at these type of things. But it's a government that, in this instance, is underfunded. And every effort to increase the funding, to increase the resources that CBP has been stymied by the Democrats. So when you see Democrats out there, wailing about these deplorable conditions that we're keeping these in, somebody should ask them, well, then why don't you fund it? Why don't you fund it better? Why don't you send them some more money so that they can improve the conditions? Because they're the ones that have stopped it from happening.
Certainly some of the facilities took shortcuts. They result as a result of either bureaucratic incompetence or limited resources. The article goes on to say those infractions will be fixed by additional funding, additional facilities, better oversight, and quicker processing, not by pretending that the president is a tyrant. The situation on the border is a difficult one, but selective outrage based on misleading facts won't do much to address it. And look, we've mentioned it before, and it's worth repeating and talking about again. But back in 2012, exposing what was happening on the border and the kids that were being put in doing that thing with my fingers, cages. I went down to that Border Patrol facility in Nogales. They had a massive warehouse that wasn't being used. It was used for stocks, for supplies and all this. There was such a huge influx of children coming in, unaccompanied minors coming into the country illegally and through the Border Patrol stations. You can't just go and let them into the country, but they had to go and give them shelter and housing. And they put them in this air-conditioned warehouse. And the reason why they were put behind the cages is because it was for their own safety. Right? Art Del Cueto, guest we've had on the show, we've talked about this many. He's the man who gave me the tour and explained to me. And it was heartbreaking. I never heard anything like it. They had to separate the kids out by their ages, by their genders, because they were a danger to each other. They were trading sexual favors among each other through fences.
Yeah.
These children were. And the Border Patrol's responsibility was to take care of them and provide them safety and to make sure they didn't harm themselves. They were given 3 square meals a day. They were given a place to sleep. They were given activities outdoors. They were given air-conditioned comfort while they all had to go through the process, which included medical screening. Because guess what? We needed to make sure that these children weren't bringing in diseases into the country. Something we haven't even touched upon on the show before. Yeah. The problem of when you look at things like measles and other diseases like that and viruses that can be contracted, a lot of those have come through the border, and we have to do our due diligence to make sure that the American people are protected.
Could you imagine the outcry if we just stopped processing these people altogether?
Oh my gosh.
We just threw up our hands and went, fine, forget it. You know, because you know, your precious feelings can't handle seeing the conditions that these people are in while they are being processed. It's temporary, y'all. It's not permanent. Concentration camps were permanent. Because you can't handle it, then fine, we'll just not do it. We'll throw up our hands, open up the border. We're not going to process anybody. Could you imagine the chaos and outcry? Well, you're not providing them with medical care?
Right.
You know, these children are coming over and they're sick. You know, these irresponsible adults have taken them on a deadly journey through Mexico to get into this country. And we're just going to let them be. We're not going to do anything for them. I mean, how much capacity do you think our government actually has?
Your Tlaibs, your AOCs, your Omars, your Sanders as well, and we're going to get into this debt cancellation next hour, and I was going to make the analogy then, but I'll make it now, and then we'll go to our guest. But they're like agents of chaos. It reminds me of Tyler Durden in Fight Club. I'm not kidding you. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of Fight Club, spoiler alert, when they decide to destroy the buildings to cancel out all the debt, right? The same thing applies when it comes to the border. Like they're just, it's like they're like anarchists. They just let them all come. I mean, that's... They're not provide in the absence of them providing any other solutions. You can just argue that's what they're proposing. It would be anarchy.
Chaos.
It would be chaos and anarchy. Yep. Let's just get rid of all the debt and just let's stop. Just let everybody come into the country willy-nilly. It doesn't matter.
You know, put them up in Hilton's.
Oh,
whatever.
Gosh. These are leaders, y'all.
Jason Lewis, good morning. It's great to hear from you.
Hey, good to talk with you guys again. I couldn't help but call in. It's actually worse. The fact is, and we've been tiptoeing around this for some time, but let's be clear. The Democrats are deliberately creating the chaos and the crisis at the border, especially with the children.
Yes.
By not coming to the table on immigration and getting the Flores consent decree fixed, which we had legislation to do in the 115th. They said they would do it if we fixed the Dreamers, we fixed Flores, and because we had funding for a wall, they wouldn't vote for it.
Of course not.
Time and time again in the 115th, and now, of course, in the 116th, they have deliberately created the mistreatment of children in order for political gain.
Yeah.
That's what this is about. There's no question about it.
The most compassionate thing that anybody could ever do when it comes to the individuals coming into the country, whether seeking asylum or whether illegally, is to secure the border to the best of our ability as the United States of America, and then make sure that we've got enough resources to process the legitimate asylum claims of the people coming in. All that they continue to do is make the issue worse because they feel like it's politically expedient for them to do so. And there's, and Jason, you know this. There's plenty of Republicans that are also responsible for this as well, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, there were Republicans that voted against Good Lot 1 and Good Lot 2, and there are some that are soft on the border. And they're not soft on any other border across the globe. They want to go fight for those borders, but our borders, they seem to have an Achilles heel on. But look, the bottom line is this can be easily fixed by controlling the border, building the wall, and making certain that people come to the ports of entry. Your point earlier, the reason they're separated is they're not migrating to the ports of entry and going through the proper channels. And they're deliberately doing this. And I'd like to know who's funding the caravans. I'd like to know what groups and nonprofits and big money folks are behind that. This thing smells to high heaven, and the American people have had it with this. If the Democrats want a battle in 2020 on immigration, bring it on.
Yeah. Great talking to you, Jason. Thanks for checking in with us, man. We really appreciate it.
Take care.
We've got Don in Burnsville coming up in just a moment. Looking forward to talking to Don. I'm sure he has some very rational and relevant comments to make about this particular topic.
He always does.
We will visit this
cogent and calm
apparent no safe space for Latinos in Minneapolis, and then we have more stupidity coming from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This time it's on the bill to eliminate student debt. This piece of audio, man.
My favorite piece of audio that I've heard in a long time.
This one and the EG. There's two pieces of audio next hour. Her and then the woman claiming that Trump raped her, and her interview with Anderson Cooper are not.